Father, we thank you so much for the time we have today in your word and in your presence. It's always a joy to come into your house. It's a joy to come right up to your throne and sit with you, Father, and allow you to teach your children. And we thank you so much that you love us, that you care for us, that you want to teach us, Lord. And we want to know, we want to learn, we want to grow. And we thank you for this time together, Father, for this is an eternity time. This is a time when the seed of the word that is an eternal word comes into our life and causes us to grow and become that image that's in your heart. And Lord, we thank you for this. We thank you for this time, Lord. I yield myself to you this morning, Lord, that my voice will be your voice, my heart will be your heart. The words that come forth will be from your word. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 We're still on our subject of fruit and being, fruit, what produces the fruit and what hinders the fruit is basically what we've been discussing for several months. And if I was to calculate this out, probably another 3-4 weeks maybe or so in this particular section, because it keeps getting bigger. And that's okay. That's what I want. That's why it's a living word.
Amen.
You know, I'm not in no hurry if you're not. I know God's not. And the more time we spend on a subject, the more we learn about it, the more we grow in that area. The stronger it is within us, and the harder it is for the enemy to detour us.
That's right.
Concerning it. So, plus, we got an eternity to learn, so I'm just oozing through the word. So we're going to continue on our subject. To understand the kind of fruit that we are to produce, and we mentioned that that fruit is love. To understand that, to understand the kind of fruit and why and how it's produced, we must understand who we are.
Amen.
We must understand the source of the fruit. So, really, no matter what part of your life that you're involved in, you need to understand your Father. You need to grow in the knowledge of your Father.
That's right.
As we grow in the knowledge of the Father, we grow in knowledge of ourselves.
Amen.
You know, when I got a couple of sons that I look at, she may not agree, but there's one particular son that I have that I see his characteristics developing just like mine. Almost a carbon, I hate to say it, with facial features and stuff. I'm not the handsomest guy in the world. But I'm me, you know, and I see that same image developing. And when you take, I've only got one photo of my father, and him and mom are holding, and I think mom's holding me, isn't she?
Mm-hmm.
But the only photo I got of my dad,
baby.
And he was in his late 50s when I was born, almost 60. So he looks just like me. I'm 64.
Yeah.
And you could almost put us side by side. And just because I look like my father does not mean I have the same basic knowledge and ways of being. I'm my own person. But we need to be that kind of an image with our Father. We're made in His image, not our personal Father, but our spiritual Father, God, mm-hmm. our real Father. We need to have knowledge of Him and look like Him. We need to look like Him in our ways, look like Him in how we walk and act. But we're made in His image as a man. We're created in His image. But when we get born again, we're born of our Father. So we need to look like and behave like and know our Father. In order to function as a Christian that we are, to know who we are, we must know our Father. We have to know our Father. So the drive of every Christian should be that. I want to know my Father. I want to know Him. I want to know Him in the secret places of His heart. I want Him to know the secret places of my heart. I don't want no door shut. Because wherever I shut a door in my life, that keeps me from knowledge of Him.
That's right.
It also hinders Him from being the God to me that He needs to be. It's a place that I am not fruitful in. That I can't bear fruit in. It's also a place of disease for my vine, my branches. It's a part of the disease. It's a part that needs to be cut off. So it's vital that we understand and know our Father. So to understand the kind of fruit we are to produce, we must understand who we are and the source of that fruit, which is God Himself. In 1 John, now I know we've read this numerous times, but we'll be reading it again and again and again, because in actuality, these scriptures are related to everything we do, everything we are, everything that happens in our lives. So it's important that we understand this. So you'll hear, there are certain scriptures that you can bring up in almost every single subject that you minister on, because they're related to that subject. And these are one of them. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7, every time I read these, I get something new. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is springs from God. So you could take the springs out, for love is from God. And he who loves his fellow men is begotten, born of God. Okay, what does it say in Romans 8, Romans 10, 9 and 10? Either confesses, you confess with your mouth, and you believe in your heart, right? That's the how you get born again. Beloved, let us one love one another, for love is springs from God, and he who loves his fellow man is begotten of God and is becoming progressively to know and understand God and to perceive and recognize and get a better and clearer knowledge of him. So that's what I was talking about when I started there. That's the progressive knowledge of God. When we find out that we're born of him, we're going to know him better. We're going to strive for that knowledge of him. And he who does not love has not become acquainted with God, does not and never did know him, for God is love. Now, see, if you're not loving, you cannot know God, because God is love. Well, let's jump down a little bit here in verse 16. Now, keep that in mind. Verse 7 and 8 there. God is and springs from, love is and springs from God, that we progressively come to know him, and that if we do not love, we've never known God. We don't know anything about him. Now, tie that to this. Verse 16, and we know, understand, recognize, and are conscious of by observation and by experience. So this is something we don't just see. We experience it. Mm-hmm. And believe, adhere to, and put faith in, and rely on the love God cherishes for us. God is love. Now that's the noun. Okay? And he who dwells and continues in love dwells and continues in God. And God dwells and continues in him. What's that sound like? That sounds like John 17, doesn't it? That they may be one, that the world may know. See, this is God's heart's desire. He wants us to know him. And in order to know him, we must be one with him. And that should be the striving point of every Christian. 17, in this union and communion with him. Union and communion with him. Love is brought to completion and attains perfection with us, that we may have the confidence for the day of judgment with assurance and boldness to face him, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's that relationship again. Verse 17 there, and verse 7 and 8 above says God is love, the noun. Then verse 18 here says, or verse 17 here says, as he is, so are we in this world. You know, religion has trouble with that. That statement right there. As he is, so are we in this world. Or they completely avoid it, don't pay no attention to it, just fly right by it. What does as he is, present tense, so are we, what does that mean? What would it mean to say, I'm just like Mark? Mm-hmm. What would that mean?
You're in trouble.
Well, it's the same thing here. So are we in this world. Not when we get to heaven. Right now. God is love. I could say Michael is love. I'm born of God. I'm born of my Father. As I mentioned, my son has the characteristics of me. I have the characteristics of my father. I have the same genes my father had in conjunction with my mother, but I'm just like him. Okay? Here, it's saying the same thing here. As he is, so are we in this world. If you're born of God, then what are you? You're his son.
Yes.
Now, religion has a problem with that. I don't know why. It's here, and either God stuttered or he lied, or they just simply don't believe this Bible is the Word of God, which that's part of it too. It's just a book of morals. And it's not. It's his word. Okay?
Amen.
So if I'm to know who I am, I must know who he is. And if I'm to bear fruit, I'm going to bear his fruit. He's the source of the fruit. It's what I said, in order to understand the fruit that we bear, we must understand the source of the fruit. I should be striving with everything in my being to be like my father. I'm not a God, but I'm supposed to be like him. As he is, so are we in this world. That's what the world needs to see. That's the fruit they need to see. That's our job, folks. If we are not as he is, so are we in this world. If we're not that, then what are we? We're abnormal.
Mm-hmm.
How many abnormal Christians are there in this world? I don't know the depths of that. And I can tell you there's places I'm abnormal.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I know this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not walking right in some ways. And neither are you. I'd like to say I am. I'd like to say I'm Mr. Perfect, but do you know that I'm living in a nasty now? And it's getting nastier? Thank God for 1 John 1:9. Where I can, and if I strive to do this, to be what he's called me to be like him, if I strive for that, and I ask the Holy Spirit, he will reveal to me where I'm not. And God is very merciful and very kind and very loving. He knows where I'm at. He knows the world I live in. And he will take my repentant heart and remold it and reveal it to me. And take time with me to teach me. As long as I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
As long as I strive for it, he will work with me and keep me clean. Every time I repent, every time I take account of myself because I want to know him, I draw closer to him, stronger with him, more like him, and my fruit is better and better and better.
Amen.
It's all connected. You can't talk about the fruit without talking about the source of the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
You can't divide the two. And if I'm supposed to be like him in this world, as he is, then I got to know how he is. It's just common sense. You can't be like something that you don't know anything about. How much time do we spend in our everyday life trying to have knowledge of him, trying to know him, trying to know his ways and his character? The Bible's very clear on his ways, who he is. When you say this is the nature of God, well, you're talking about his ways. Okay, what are his ways? Well, one of the part of what he finding out is what love is.
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians 13:4-8. Well, that's a description of love. The fruit of the Spirit. That is manifestation of love in action. That's his character. There's also a lot of scriptures in the Bible that says God is, or God does, or I will. These are his ways when we go through the Bible. We've done a series that lasted about 6 months or more and never did get completed. In our church, on who he is and who we are. We talked about his ways in that. And we had a long list. I went through the Bible, and any place it said God does or God is or God will, I pulled all that out, those scriptures, and looked at them because that's his ways. And I want to know his ways. Those are supposed to be my ways. Okay, so if I'm working on it, God's working with me. When I stop, he stops. It's just that simple. Now, I can start over again, but the longer I stop, the harder it is to get back where I was. It's just that way. And it is what we're going to be standing judgment for. I can say, well, I just don't have time for that. I'm just not that way. But I'm born again. I'm going to heaven. Yes, but that's the wood, hay, and stubble that burns off. That's what will not stand. The loving things we do, the things that we do knowing Him, that's what will stand. That's what He looks at, what we're responsible for. I'm responsible for right now in this life. So to understand the kind of fruit we produce, we must understand who we are and who the source of the fruit is in His ways. As He is, so are we in this world. Because we are born of love Himself, when we do not walk in love, bearing the fruit of love, we are abnormal. We need to know that. The scripture here proves that. As He is, so are we in this world. Because we are born of love Himself, to walk in love, bearing the fruit of love, is normal for us. That's normal. And that's what we need to strive for. How do I identify my loving walk every day as I walk through my life? How many times do we shortcut? That's not the loving way, is it? How many times do we manipulate in our daily life? I hate manipulation. I won't even watch a TV show where there's manipulation in it. Manipulation in it. I don't like it because I'm anti-manipulation. Even though I catch myself doing it, we all do it. We don't even realize we're doing it. I need to be honest in everything I do and allow the Holy Spirit to tell me when I'm not. And that means in my work life, when I adjust a claim, I strive to tell that person exactly right and wrong. I try. We're instructed. If we get on a roof, if we're there for wind damage, a few shingles off, and I see hail, mm-hmm. we don't just pay for the wind. We pay for the hail. Mm-hmm. It's there. We don't say it's not there. We don't get down because he can't get up there and say, we just pay for these few shingles. We offer the wind mm-hmm. and the hail. Well, when you fix the hail, you fix the wind. So mm-hmm. you actually do. You go beyond what that person's knowledge is. And I know Mark does that in his business. He goes beyond. When he sells a car and stands behind it. If he doesn't, then that's a place where he's not honorable. And that's a place where we fall short. As an adjuster, my guy that hired me, he said, Mike, when you go in on a claim, you're not for us. You're not for them. If you cannot be neutral, you cannot work for us. That's one of the very first things he said to me. And I've stood on that. And they have stood behind me on that. If I don't know something, I ask. If it's a gray area, I present it to the claims department. And they will discuss it internally to see what the fairest thing is here. Because there's a lot of gray areas. Then we always lean towards the customer. It just has to be that way. If you're not walking in love, and this is what we do in our daily life, you always lean towards the other person at your expense. If you don't, especially in business, as Mark can tell you, anybody who's in business can tell you, if you don't do that, over a process of time, it will hang you. Mm-hmm. You will lose the very thing that you're striving for. And don't you think people won't know? Now, you may wind up denying a claim, but is it denied correctly? Is it not covered? Is there a basis to stand on here? And we strive at that. If we don't know, we call our attorney. And he'll do a background search. Is there a case law here that says this is covered or not covered? We spend our money to find out because it has to be that way. You're better off spending the money up front than coming back and spending it again. Mm-hmm. Mark sells a car that he knows is bad and he goes out that door, it's going to come back. And now not only does that car cost him, but the next customer cost him. It's just a chain that way. And it's in our daily life that way. If we treat somebody wrongly when we know we are doing it, even though they don't know we are. It's going to hang me. Maybe not even in this life. Nobody may ever find out about it, but my fruit will find out about it. You know, and this is so important to us. Honor and integrity is chief with God. And we all fall short there. We all do. And we can justify what we do. We can justify it. The wrong thing. We can justify the manipulation. But what part of us is justifying that? See, I'm not doing this just for me. I'm doing it for eternity, for one thing. I'm doing it for my Father as His Son. I'm doing it for the witness that other people see. I'm doing it to allow the Holy Spirit to be able to flow through me into my job, my business, the people I encounter every day. And when I step into a claim, I've got to realize that I've done the best I can. Have I failed on that? You better believe it. I have. And I've had to go back and make it right, which I don't like. Nobody does. And do it in a way that I'm not blaming anybody. That's hard to do without the Holy Spirit. It just is. And somewhere along the line, they're going to think you're lying to them. But you can't do anything about that. You pray for them, and you do your best. And God will stand up for you. So it's important that we bear the right kind of fruit in our daily life. I said in the beginning that we, and this a couple of times, in order to understand our kind of fruit and understand the fruit that we bear, we must understand who we are and who He is. We are the children of God. God's Word is very clear on that. I'm going to run through a couple of scriptures quickly. 1 John 3, 1 and 2. People will argue with you on this. How can I be like God? As He is, so are we in this world. I can guarantee you every translation in this room says that. I've looked. In 1 John 3, but they'll argue with you that we're children of God. We're servants of God. That's not what the Word says. Before the cross, yes. After the cross, no. We're sons that serve. 1 John 3, chapter, verse 1. See what an incredible quality of love the Father has given, shown, bestowed on us, that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. And so we are. The reason that the world does not know, recognize, acknowledge us is that it does not know, recognize, and acknowledge Him. Beloved, we are even here and now God's children. When is now? I can't get any clearer than that. And in 1 John 5, 1, everything is established by two or three witnesses, right? But Jesus said, everyone, 1 John 5, 1, everyone, who's everyone? That's everyone. Who believes, adheres to, trusts in, relies on the fact that Jesus is the Christ. What can you compare that to? Romans 10, 9 and 10. You believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. You're born again. Christ the Messiah is a born again child of God. When is he a born again child of God? Is right now. Okay? Born again child of God. And everyone who loves the Father also loves the one born of him, his offspring. Now they're not just talking about Jesus there. If I am a born again child of God, I have to love the others that are born again. They are born again children of God. So that means they're in the body of Christ. That means I love them, even when they're unlovely. That's a commandment, that ye love one another. I can't separate out the Baptist or the Catholics or anybody else that's born again. And I can't guarantee whether or not they are born again. I don't know. I do know in the Catholic service, every single service, they confess that. Now, somewhere along the line, that's going to stick. You know? Somewhere along the line, it's going to dawn on them. God will see to it. You can't keep talking something and it not open up in your revelation to you eventually. So, anyone who's born again is my brother and born of my Father. So, if I love my Father, I love them. I may not love what they do, but I love them. And Romans 8 is another witness. I like to establish something by the Word. I mean, you can argue with me, but you can't argue with the Word. Or you can, but it's not wise. Romans 8.
It's not going to work very good.
It's not going to work very good if you argue with it. Romans 8, 14. For all, again, that's the same as everyone, who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For the Spirit which you have received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit producing sonship, in the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father, Father, that love relationship. The Spirit Himself thus testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are children of God. And if we are His children, then we are His heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing His inheritance with Him. Only we must share His suffering if we are to share His glory. That doesn't mean sickness, disease, and the cross. It means whatever it costs you to walk this.
Amen.
Whatever it costs you to walk as sons and daughters of God, it might cost you relationships. It might cost you your job. It might cost you prison. Whatever it costs you, that's the sufferings that Paul's talking about here. It's not sickness and disease. Okay? And you don't have to be, although you may, be crucified. Mm-hmm. He did that. Mm-hmm. Okay? So we are His heirs. Heirs of what? Heirs of this Word, for one thing.
Amen.
We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. The born again, you're seated in authority. What are you doing with it? See, we got to ask ourselves these questions. As He is, so are we in this world. I have an authority because I'm God's child. I also have a responsibility because I'm God's child. I have commandment on how to walk. And as long as I am doing that, that authority works. What is my authority? A way I like to compare that is the president calls in an ambassador and he gives him a message to the king of France or somebody. Now, where does that man's authority lie? In the message he carries, right? The only authority he has is to take that message and speak the message. He may not even like the message. But his authority begins and ends with the message that he bears, right? So he has authority to work within a certain scope. Mark assigns someone to work. His authority is in the scope of work he has, not outside that scope. I have an authority as an adjuster to adjust a claim based on the policy. If it doesn't fall within that scope, I've got to go beyond that scope and go to a higher authority. It's the same way here. What is our authority? Our authority begins and ends with the Word.
Yeah.
Our authority is in these promises, this covenant here. I have to stay here. That means I got to know it.
That's right.
That's what I mean when I talk about prayer. If you haven't prayed the Word, you haven't prayed. Mm-hmm. If your prayer is not founded on the Word, you haven't prayed. Mm-hmm. You've complained. You've discussed something, but you haven't prayed. God's Word is His part of our prayer life. It's the foundation He bases the answer on. There are certain things here when we pray, we take the promise and say, "For it is written, thus says the Lord." And I thank You, Father, that Your Word says, and now You lay the commandment out. Because that's where Your authority is. He expects us to do that. You're not arrogant. You're not going beyond your scope of authority. You've been given a promise and an authority, and He expects you to do it. That's where we fall so short in answered prayer. I know I'm off on prayer again, but we got a prayer focus here. Mm-hmm. And there's such small knowledge of this, and the church is so weak in its knowledge of who they are and their authority and what this Word really is. They're weak. And we can't afford to be weak in the season we live in. And they don't come to places, not that we got it all here, but they don't come to places to learn. They don't take time. I was talking about this in Brothers in Christ Friday. Talking about this in Brothers in Christ Friday, that about prayer, about ask, seek, and knock, the way she's been talking about it on Thursday nights. The reason we don't have more answers, because we don't have knowledge. If certain denominations, and with a denomination or not, I'd say the majority of the churches, if you're going to learn these principles, you have to go outside of your place of worship where you go to church. You have to get it outside those walls, or you're not going to get it. It's just that simple. And a lot of times, it's not the fault of the leadership in the church, because they don't know. Or they don't have the time, or the people don't come. There's not an interest in it. They want to pray, they want an answer. They want to see signs, miracles, and wonders, and they want to see revival, but they don't want to pay the price.
That's right.
They don't want to get the knowledge. They don't take the time to find out who they are, to find out what the Word says. Why did He put this Bible here? What are the promises? The promises are what He's going to do and how He's going to do it. Okay? If you go to court, what do you go to court with? You go to court with the contract that was written. You go to court with case law. You prepare your case before you go. That's why you get a lawyer. Who's our lawyer? The Holy Spirit's our advocate.
Amen.
And where is He going to take you? Right here. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And there's certain things when you pray that if you're listening to the Holy Spirit, listening to God, He's going to tell you right here in this word is what I said about that. Find out what I said. If you don't know how to find it, get a concordance. Get somebody that is a word person and let them search it with you. But prepare your case. Take the time. That's what the prayer of petition is that Paul's talking about. When you bring your petition, you find out what the Word says. Write it down. Get your scripture and say, Father, your Word says, for it is written. Isn't that what Jesus did when He was at His weakest, being tempted in the wilderness by Satan? He could have done everything that Satan said. He could have turned the stones to bread. Don't you think that was a temptation from His humanity part? It was. But, what did He say? For it is written. He answered. Why didn't He say, I say? He's the Word, isn't He? He is the Word. He could have said, I say. My Father said. He didn't. He said, for it is written. Written by who? Moses and all those others that wrote it before Him. Why did He refer it to that way? Because it's the inspired Word of God. It's covenant. Satan has to bow his knee to it. See? He has to bow his knee to it. The reason he's so active right now in the church is because we don't enforce it.
That's right.
We don't do anything with it. We'll even yell at him, Satan, get out of here. God, get him out of here. No. God said, you bind him. What do you bind him with? You bind him with the promise and with the Word. He is subject to that. When we take the promise, the other problem we have, I'm still on fruit, believe it or not. The other problem we have is we'll even go to the Word. We'll even take the Word. We'll even speak it that way.
Mm.
But then we quit. No. Ask. That's what you ask. Father, your Word says, therefore I'm asking for the revelation, knowledge of this Word. I'm asking you, Lord, for the manifestation of your promise that you said. You said, Lord, therefore I take my place. And now, Father, I'm going to start seeking. I'm going to seek your presence in this promise wherever I go. I'm going to seek you as I walk through my life for answers here and for direction and guidance. That's the seeking part. The knocking is when you find it. You've been seeking. Now you found the place. You found the thing that's knocked, that's locked up. Now you take that promise and said, thus says the Lord. That's the knocking. And what did he say? The door will open.
Yeah,
why?
Will.
Because you enforced it. Okay? There's a lot in that scripture. She's been doing an excellent job on it. I've been seeing some revelation I didn't see before on it. And that's part of it. You know, there is a system there. Ask, seek, and knock. And those are steps. I told the elders here and our brothers in Christ, because they saw that out there. Anyways, they were asking questions. And I said, the majority of the church is here. Mm-hmm. They never leave there. And what they're asking is not based on anything. They have no knowledge of it. And we're crippled as a church as long as we stay that way. Somebody has to teach it. We will be eventually. We're not there yet. But there's some outstanding materials you can go to. One of them is Brother Hagin has several different courses that he's designed over the years. One's on the Holy Spirit, which is excellent. One's on faith, one's on prayer, and there's one on healing. They're actual courses that you can just go buy. If you get them on your Kindle or on your tablet, they're like $8. And I got them on there. I got most of them on there. And he's got he'll teach a while. They're from his tapes and set tapes, put in books. And you get a chapter, and then he's got questions and answers after it, and you start another chapter. And they're really excellent. There's other materials that are out there on prayer. But like I said, you got to get it outside your church. And it's so sad. We talked about, I asked a question in here, elders meeting, I said, how do we teach our people? Because we're responsible, if we're going to call them to prayer, we're responsible to teach them. We should be teaching them anyways. But if we're going to put them out there and say, come and pray, we have to make the stuff available to learn what it is. To learn the different laws of prayer. We group prayer in a big basket. And we say, we're going to pray. And in that, there's petitions and supplications. There's declarations. There's worship. There's numerous different kinds of prayer, and they function with different laws. And if we don't know why they're that way, for the prayer petition is one of them. Like I said, you prepare your petition. You bring it before the Father. Not only you bring it before the Father, you're bringing it before the enemy, because he's going to accuse you on that. Okay? So you're bringing it, for it is written. There's other ones that are requests. Well, we group them all together. There's the prayer of praise and worship, and there's prayer of supplication. There's a prayer of sacrifice. Of commitment. There's all kinds of different prayers. If you, in a natural, if you take football and play with basketball rules, what are you going to have? That's what we do with prayer. We group them into one big thing, and I'm just going to ask for all of this. A lot of things that are in that basket that we're just asking for, God's already provided.
Yeah.
And he can't give it to you. He's got to point you to his word, take my promise. What did Paul do? Oh, God, get this thorn out of my life. My grace is sufficient. In other words, my grace will do it. 3 times he went, and every time God had the same answer. Mm-hmm. My grace is sufficient. What was he saying? I can't do anything for you, Paul. I gave you my word. You know in your heart the promise. Do something about it. Take my word and do the warfare with it. That's what he was saying. He was asking, wasn't he? But he was stuck here. Mm-hmm. And many of us don't get our answers because we're stuck there. We'll ask, but never receive. If I'm receiving, that's where thanksgiving comes in. Present your petitions and requests to God with thanksgiving.
Amen.
If I'm presenting my petition to God, I have to be on the receiving end of it. Once I've presented my petition, now I'm in receiving mode. When I say thank you, what have I done? I've received it. If you walk up to somebody that you don't know, never talked to them before, and you don't say anything but thank you, what are they going to say? Before. Because the concept is, if you thank me, I've done something for you. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing here. That's why Paul says, with thanksgiving. Because once you receive it, now what do? You're in the seeking and the knocking mode. Mm-hmm. You move from the ask. Now you've received, and what happened? The process has begun.
Hallelujah.
But if you keep going back and asking again for the same thing you've already received, what have you done? You said, I did not receive it. And your work at the cross wasn't good enough, because it's not working. Haven't you? If one guy gives a Bible to him and says, "Can I use your Bible?" And he says, "Here." "Can I use your Bible?" "Here." "Can I use your Bible?" "Here!" You know? "Can I use your pickup?" "Well, your truck is bigger than mine. It's sufficient to do the job." He didn't say it was insufficient. He said it's sufficient. It can do the work. And see, we're not receiving. We're asking. But it didn't come quick enough. These are things we need to know about prayer.
Amen.
I have an obligation, once I ask, to receive based on the promise. It's got to have a foundation. If I'm basing my receiving on what he said, I've got it. Is what
Amen.
The Bible says.
Amen.
Now the process begins.
Amen.
Now I got to maintain that process.
Amen.
There's a time of manifestation coming if I maintain it. Most of us abort it before we get started. We'll start our prayer, believe, receive, and all that, and we stop. Now when we go back the next time, "Father, I thank you, your word says." See, that's my foundation, my anchor. "I thank you, Lord, your word says, by his stripes you were healed. It says, you meet all of my needs according to your riches and glory. Father, I don't even know all my needs, but you do. And you said you'd meet them. So, Father, I'm believing I receive, and I'm thanking you for it. I don't understand the process. I don't understand the manifestation time frame, but I know that it's in process because your word says."
Amen.
That's what faith is. It's just trust.
Yep.
Okay? Now, you maintain and protect that prayer that way. And every time it says, "Well, I don't think it's working," or "Ooh, ow," you know, "I thought I was healed." You are healed, because it's already done 2,000 years ago and sealed in blood.
Mm-hmm.
"Father, I thank you. I don't know what that was. I don't care what it was. I'm healed."
Amen.
Your word says. So you keep bringing the word back, because that's, you founded it on something. You got a base.
Amen.
We don't do that. We don't even know how to do that. I know this because personal trial and error. And another thing, we've taken the time to study it, to listen to it, to see it for ourselves in here. That's what you have to do.
Amen.
Well, I got to quit there. "Father, I thank you for the revelation of your word. I thank you for teaching us, Lord. I thank you, Father, for the seed of your word, which always brings harvest. It has to bring harvest if I maintain that seed and care for it. Thank you, Father, for revealing this to your church. We so desperately need this in our daily lives. We need it, Lord, to be the people you call us to be the sons and daughters that you call us to be, to bear fruit in a hurting world that's so hurting and dark. They have to see this in action. People have to see. And Father, we thank you for revealing it to us, and we thank you for teaching us how to choose in our daily life. For by your Spirit to keep these things before us and cause us to become hungry, Lord, for your word. Draw us to your word, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen.